Don't say that you're the best. Never seen you with a fish on yet. Got a pole and a big old net. Never seen you get 'em wet.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Bob Summerew,
yes,
who is one of the most prized writers for Western Outdoor News, and I think current president of the
Outdoor Writers Association of California.
And doing a fantastic job. Thank
Why,
you.
Thank you.
All right. And we also have the last year's winner of the Best Outdoor Television Show on the line with us.
That's right.
And he also, from what I understand now, was voted by some prestigious group as the most interesting man in the world.
Alive in the world.
Alive.
I like the way they qualify that.
It's important to say that, John, because there's a lot of interesting people, but they're no longer with us.
Okay.
I'm still alive.
Okay. Now, like I said, Grizz, there's a lot of ways I could describe you, and interesting is probably one of the best ones to use.
So what have you been up to? I understand you've been doing some kayaking.
Well, let me tell you how my month of December started out.
Okay.
I was the master of ceremony in Sabora Cabo, which was the largest event in the history of Mexico about food. We had the sixth best chefs in the world here in Cabo, and I got to cook with them, and like I said, was the master of ceremony. Then we had great people. I got to do actually two shows with Kiss, the group, of course, and then I had the opportunity also to do a show, actually two shows, with Lele, which is the largest rock and roll group in Latin America. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Chris, so you've been out there rocking and rolling yourself.
If you look at my Facebook, you can see me with a guitar and playing, and you can see
Grizz, come on, please. Yeah. Don't tell me you were singing with those guys.
Just look on my Facebook, and you can see me singing with them.
Oh.
And you'll be able to watch it on television, too.
Wow.
Well, that sounds exciting. And what did that have to do with fishing?
Nothing.
Well, then let's get around to it. Okay. Talk to me about your kayak
trips. I want to hear about Mag Bay and that whole trip with you and Larissa.
All right. Well, it was actually Larissa. She's with the Sportsman Channel, also with Captain Patrick Crawford, who is the Animal Planet, who won the top hooker for Animal Planet, and myself and Charlie. We met on the 14th. Of December in La Bocana, which is about, from La Paz, it's 12 hours to the north driving. There we met up thanks to Bass Pro. Bass Pro gave us their new kayaks, and then we had the Kayak Attack. We had them outfit us with everything, and we started kayaking from the north all the way to Cabo.
Well, let's clarify that, Grizz. You kayaked, but you didn't kayak from there to Cabo. I'm sure you probably blew them on the trailer.
If you get in a kayak and you start working your way south, John, and you get out and then you just jump in, it's the same thing as kayaking. You want to be so damn picky.
So you covered some territory one way or the other.
What we did was we covered all the estuaries from the North Mexico all the way down. When the estuary stopped, we got out of our kayaks, put them on the trailer, went to the next estuary, and went as far as that one went, got out, and we kept doing that all the way to Cabo.
Wow. Sounds like a hell of an adventure, but I have just one question. I hate to sound like a broke record. Tell me about the fishing.
Well, the fishing was probably the best fishing we ever had, I had in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Each kayak, and we're talking four kayaks, we caught over 150 fish a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Each kayak, 150 fish a day.
That's right.
Oh.
Minimum.
What variety? What are you fishing for? What species?
Corvina.
Oh, yeah.
And we caught a lot of big halibut.
Really?
I mean, big halibut for the estuaries is 15, 20 pounders.
That's big.
And we caught a lot of groupers. Groupers not so big, 5 to 20 pounds. I'm averaging 5 to 8 pounds on groupers. trigger fish, some of the biggest trigger fish I ever caught, 5-pound trigger fish. That's in a lot of spotted bay bass.
Oh, how fun that is.
I mean, a lot. The biggest spotted bay bass we got was probably 7 pounds.
Well, Grizz, one of these days, maybe this year, with any luck, I'll come fishing with you at your new resort down at Mag Bay. But the estuaries themselves, what you're describing, and a halibut usually hang out in the sand, and triggerfish and grouper are rockfish. And then corbina, I guess you get those in the mangroves. But what is the water like in the surface of Mag Bay and the estuaries? And then what surrounds it?
Well, you've got, you know, from the hurricanes over the years, you've got giant sand dunes on one side, and the other side you've got mangroves. Now, you're right, John. Halibut like the sand. So what you do is you go down, and normally the sides of the mangroves, you look to a clearing part where it's sandy, and then it drops off. You know, it's shallow, and it drops off. Those big halibut lay right on the side of that drop-off in the sand where the current comes through. And you cast up, and you jig, literally take a jig head, and jig, and when it falls off, those halibut come up and get it. Your corvina stay out in the current, and they're right, you know, in the channel. And you throw out that, and you let them drift down, and on your swing, the corvina will get it. We got corvina up to 15 pounds, which is just monstrous.
Wow.
And we got them. And then the triggerfish are anywhere. You never know what a triggerfish is. But at the mouth of the estuaries, you find your triggerfish. And then your spotted bay bass and your sand bass are everywhere. I mean, everywhere.
You know, Grizz, I'm a fly guy, and I wanted to know, anybody down there doing any fly?
Yeah, I fly fish. Yes, I did.
Oh, fantastic. And you were
I do a lot of fly fishing.
And that was working just as productive?
What you would do is throw a streamer a little bit like a 45-degree angle, and let it float down, you know, using a floating line. And then when you've got your swing around, you would start stripping. And the corvina would just tear it up.
Oh, that sounds exciting. And they're big ones, the 10 to 15s?
Yeah. Yeah, how we caught them.
That's fantastic.
I was using a 7-weight rod. Eagle Claw sent me down some 7-weights to try. Because normally I fish 10, 12-weight, because I do a lot of fishing for marlin in the ocean. I use a 12-weight. And then when I fish for Dorado, I use a 10-weight. And I didn't have anything really that small here. So Eagle Claw sent us some 7-weight rods, and that's what we caught them on.
And all of it is loaded with floating line.
Oh, yeah. It's sinking line just doesn't arch out right in the estuaries.
Yeah, and the water's not that deep anyway, so you're tipping.
No, the deepest you're fishing maybe is 11 feet.
Yeah, so the tip is long enough to get you down.
But also, said in the bay, in the estuaries, how deep is the water?
A deep place is 12 feet.
And what about in Mag Bay itself?
Well, that goes up to 500 feet in Mag
Bay.
Does
it really in the bay? Wow.
If you get over to the mouth, I don't know where you're talking about, but normally you don't fish there.
Well, you know, that when you look at it, I've never been there. When you look at it on the map, it's kind of like a more like a barrier reef or something with all the sandbars out there.
You know, and it really sounds like you and I have to get down there.
I think that's a good idea.
Right.
Grizz, we're going to be back with you in a couple minutes because
we
want to hear more about the resort and love to hear more about Mag Bay, and maybe you can touch on the whales and some of that kind of stuff because there's a lot of reasons to go down there that have nothing to do with catching fish. But anyway, we'll find out a little bit about that. Bob goes,
"Why go?
Why go?" Okay. Anyway, you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. We've got the Grizz, Bob Summeru, and I'm John Hannigan. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes, so don't go too far.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Sandos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Bob Sumereau.
Hey.
And we have Mike Ritz, a.k.a. The Grizz, the most interesting man in the world.
He is indeed. You know, his history goes all the way back to the Bighorn when he used to guide. And now he's down there in Mexico doing so many fantastic things. And I got to tell you, the accolades you're getting with your award from Outdoor Writers Association to California last year and this one we've been teasing you about today with the most interesting man alive, it's pretty amazing and well-deserved, I got to say. I want to hear more about Mag Bay.
Yeah, let's talk about more about Mag Bay because we want to go. So, and after, we'll cover the idea of how to get there because I know you can help with that. But let's continue your trek with you and Larissa from Larissa Unleashed and the captain, what was his name, Robert?
Patrick Crawford.
Patrick Crawford, right.
Yeah, who won the top hooker on the Animal Planet.
So it's, you know, remember the song Surfing Safari?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, well, it looks like Grizz did a kayak. He did
a yakking safari.
A yakking safari. Yeah. So continue that. We were talking about fishing in the estuaries. Let's kind of continue down about, you know, what else that you did down there.
Well, the first thing is you guys keep talking about Mag Bay. Mag Bay, you know, is one place, but you can get into Mag Bay from Lopez Martello or from San Carlos. Now, Mag Bay has many, many mouths to go out into the ocean. You've got Santo Domingo, you've got Estrella, and then you've got the division between Magdalena Island, which is why it's called Mag Bay, is for Magdalena, and from Margarita are two islands that sit out is out in the ocean and go between those islands and come in. You come into Mag Bay. Now, people talk about going to Mag Bay, all of these boats from the United States, from San Diego, they go fish Mag Bay. They don't fish Mag Bay. They fish in front of Mag Bay because they can't get even into Mag Bay.
Right.
With those big boats. So there's a lot of, I'd say, confusion, or maybe even use a word that's not too nice, ignorance, when they talk about Mag Bay.
Okay. Well,
because Mag Bay, they don't fish in Mag Bay. There's not marlin in Mag Bay.
Right.
There's not Dorado in Mag
Bay. So they're offshore of Mag Bay is what they are. They're,
right.
They're fishing
they're
offshore out by the island.
Of the island.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when I look at it, and I've been trying to study it, and I've still never been there, but I got to go. But I kind of get the impression that it's almost kind of like the Great Barrier Reef, where you've got, you know, the bay, and then outside of the bay, you've got basically sandbars, which are islands. Does that kind of describe it?
No.
Okay. Well. I don't know. I'm asking you.
Good try, John.
I'm asking you.
Yeah,
give
but
us,
the islands.
Give
do
us.
Act
give
as
us a description.
For
yeah.
It.
But
your okay, let's go again. Magdalena or Mag Bay, yes, has sandbars. It has flats more than sandbars. They're big flats. If you don't know how to get around in them, you will be sitting on a sandbar until the tide comes in. It has some very shallow waters, but that's Mag Bay, the inside. Now, where people fish for the great marlin, the wahoo, which the wahoo is the best in the world, is not Mag Bay. It's outside of Mag Bay in front of Magdalena Island or Margarita Island. And that's deep water out there. And that's mm-hmm. where the giant bait balls are, where you see all these pictures of all these fish jumping and birds
amazing,
and whales.
Amazing stuff. The water is so alive out there.
That's out there. Now, Mag Bay itself is corvina, a lot of halibut, a lot of bay bass, a lot of sand bass, a lot of stingrays.
How about snook?
Yeah. Yeah, some good snook fishing.
Yeah.
Really good snook.
Mm-hmm.
But the snook are not, like, right in Mag Bay. Mag Bay, then, is divided into estuaries. And you have to go back in the estuaries to find the snook. I'm sure they swim out. But, you know, it would be just like blind fishing out in the middle of nowhere.
That's right, yeah.
Snook.
Inside the estuaries, down in deep along the mangroves, that's where you're going to
find
it.
Exactly right. Especially the points.
Right.
Where they actually divide. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. You've got, this time of year, you've got birds from all over the world. You know, all the north are down here. You've got brent, black brent down there by the hundreds. You've got every kind of crane, egrets, herons. You've got everything you can imagine in shorebirds.
Well, the place sounds like it's absolutely alive inside and out.
Grizz, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that one of the reasons that that area, Mag Bay and the estuaries, is so prolific is it because, you know, they don't have a lot of infrastructure and very few people go there, so it doesn't get a lot of pressure. Is that correct?
Now, are you talking about the estuaries or are you talking about Mag Bay?
Both. The inside of the bay and the estuaries.
Well, outside the bay, if you want to talk about that, the number one person that fishes it are the boats that come down from San Diego.
Yeah, the long-range fleet, right.
Yeah, which are pretty much frowned upon
mm-hmm.
by the people there.
They just come down, take the fish, and go home.
That's right. They don't spend any money. They come to Mexican waters. Most of them don't buy a fishing license. They go down there, and they don't leave anything in Mexico. They take everything from Mexico but leave nothing.
Well, in defense, they do all get licenses. I'll give you that.
Well, okay. But, I mean, you'll understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about the people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing comes ashore. Nothing comes ashore.
Yeah, no money
That's
flows
right.
ashore.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people don't really like that. So what we got to do is change that, get the people coming to Mexico and go out and stay in the hotels.
How could we do that? There's nothing there at Magdalena Bay. There's nothing there at all.
Yes, there is.
What is there?
There is now. Go ahead, Grizz.
Well, I happen to have a hotel there.
How'd that happen?
Well, the Grizz makes a lot of things happen.
We
have a hotel right on the estuary at the mouth of Magdalena. A Mag Bay.
That's amazing. What's the name of it?
It's called the Mangrove Inn.
Mm.
And it will be open the 15th of January.
That's fabulous.
How many rooms?
How many rooms is that?
24.
Oh, just a nice place.
And then
to
you've
stay.
Also got the boats and kayaks to back it up, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've got boats, we've got guides, professional guides, restaurant, everything.
Well, now, if somebody wanted to take advantage of that, Grizz, what's the easiest way to get there? I mean, I know you can drive all the way down the peninsula, but what would you recommend if people want to fish that area?
We come into La Paz.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 3 hours and 40 minutes, I mean, driving slow.
From La Paz to the resort.
So you fly down to La Paz, you rent a car and drive over, or do you have a van service?
We will have a service to take them up in the future.
Yeah, because once they get there, they don't need a vehicle, do they?
No, there's no reason to have a vehicle.
What kind of an average stay would you recommend? Would it be like a four-day trip or come down for a week?
Yeah, I would suggest come in, spend a night, fish 3 days, spend the night, and go home.
Okay. Oh, sounds fabulous.
Now, Grizz, also, in this segment, if we're going to try and finish up this part of it, as I mentioned, there's a lot of people that are interested in going down there and they're not interested in fishing. The wildlife, the birds, and in particular, the breeding ground for the gray whales. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, the whales come in from all of the north, and they come into Mag Bay. And they reproduce here. They have their mating rituals here. And probably one of the most exciting things here is they give birth. When we were there last week, a whale had just given birth. Now, a baby whale is like a ton and a half. It doesn't look too baby. I mean, we were beside it and everything, and it didn't look like a baby. But they told us it was born 3 days before we got there.
Wow.
And this place, you can actually touch the whales. They come up to your boat. They call them friendly and unfriendly whales. And it's pretty unique because they will come right to your boat and they do what they call spying. They stick their head out, they open their eyes and look at where you are, and they will actually swim over to your boat.
and you can
touch them and everything there.
We
make a lot of shows doing that, and it's one of Charles and I's favorite things to do.
Right. Well, we're going to be going to a break here in a couple of minutes. But then also, a lot of bird watchers go down there too, right?
Well, they need to.
Yeah.
No, there's not a lot because, like you said, there was no infrastructure that go down there. There was no place to stay. There was no people that got into bird watching. But we're changing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're setting the business up for the communities, not for us.
So it's gonna be a benefit to the local people there and add to their infrastructure and their benefit financially.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm a TV guy. That's where I make my money, and that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in being a guide, but I set everything up for the people.
Right.
So they'll do the guiding.
Okay. Well, we're gonna take a break real quick, Grizz, but maybe we can kind of finish up with the rest of your trip when we come back, and then let's see if whatever Bob has some questions or anything that he wants to cover. But this is fascinating stuff, and
amazing.
We're anxious to see this on film. So we appreciate that, Grizz, but please don't go very far. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with you shortly. And we would like to invite you to go to fishtalkradio.com. We've always got something going on. We've got contests, and you can listen to any show that you want to. So that's fishtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, I know I done lost another one. Honey, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngins. Let's go.
I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. We have Dr. Lauren Everett.
Hello, John. My background in this area deals with what we're doing for the World Federation of Scientists in Switzerland. We work on planetary emergencies. One of those is associated with our dying oceans that I will be chairing in the next couple of months. And that has to do with the impacts of runoff from our agricultural activities around the world. And therein lies the problem of what helps agriculture can hurt the ocean, meaning that the nitrates and phosphates that grow our crops, as they run off to our rivers and lakes and streams and enter the ocean, they create what's referred to as algal blooms, filamentous blue-green algae, for example, algae that will produce an acid called domoic acid that is really quite toxic. But the greater effect is that it creates dead zones. It creates a buildup of organic matter that will use up all of the oxygen, and those dead zones preclude any kind of biotic life, whether it's animal or fish, living in those areas.
What can or should we do?
We need to control our runoff from our agricultural activities to make sure that they do not enter our rivers and our oceans. And we need to control our fertilizer application rates so that the amount that is applied is actually used by the plant and not discharged to the groundwater or to surface water so that it can run off and create these problems in our waterways.
Thank you, Dr. Everett. Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Bob Sumaru and Mike Ritz, a.k.a. The Grizz, the most interesting man in the world, and probably one of the most prolific...
Alive,
yeah. And probably one of the most prolific television producers and hosts that I can think
of. Since 1979, but, I just learned.
He's got, and we're looking forward because, you know, your shows have been available in different places, but it looks like in 2015, most of the country will be able to get to see your smiling face, locally without having to pay for it. But anyway, real quickly, I just want to congratulate our 15 winners that got a calendar and a calendar. By the way, if you got the calendar, there also is a, download for for Taiwan On, that's Misty's new song. And if you got one of those calendars, I was lucky enough to win one. And but they'll be, if you should have been notified to be out in the mail this week.
Well, that's fabulous. So 15 winners.
Right.
And they all get the download as well.
Right.
And did you win one of those?
No,
you didn't get a calendar, huh?
They don't give me anything.
Don't give you nothing.
Just give you a hard time. That's the only thing they give you around here.
Anyway,
we're gonna be
coming up with a lot of stuff. And by the way, Grizz, we do have some trips planned now. That their first two are in the book, and that is coming down to see you in La Paz, April. I think it's the 25 through the 30th or something like that. April 19th to the 23rd. And then we also have in July, No, yeah. July is 18th to 23rd. Anyway, but stay tuned. We got some great trips coming up, and we're going to go down to La Paz and stay at the five star the Costa Baja Resort.
Nice.
Costa Baja.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where my boats are, and that's a really good time for whoever comes down for big, giant yellowtail.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. They do get huge down there, too. We've been pulling on the 30 to 40-pounders offshore here still. In fact, last week we spoke quite a bit about the fact that the weather conditions and the new normal has brought the exotics up here. But you've got them down there like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get them. John and I, last year in May, we caught so many of them, we got tired. I think, what, at 12:30, we wanted to go home, didn't we, John?
Now, how big are those?
We were catching them up to 45 to 50 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. Are they on the jig primarily?
Yeah, we were jigging them and life bait all the way down.
Oh, really?
But so I get them up here up to 65, 70 pounds.
No way.
Yeah, Charles and I get them when they're in.
You almost need a chair for that. Those things get so strong. You know, they got shoulders on them. It's amazing.
Well, they're nothing like the rooster fish.
Well, that's
my babies.
That's a whole nother world, especially on the fly.
Well, they're their cousin, you know.
Huh?
Yeah, I love the rooster fish. But, you know, they're good fish, a yellowtail, and they're good table fare.
Well, that's true, which you can't say about a rooster fish. But,
is
a good thing.
I would never kill a rooster fish.
No. But that's what's nice about the yellowtails, that you can always take some home.
Well, you know, we want to go down there the end of April to visit La Paz. And, of course, La Paz has probably got to be the rooster capital of the world, that, from what I can tell. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, well, that's where I got all my big fish. Charles and I, my son and I, we catch probably about 10 over 80 pounds a year.
Whoa.
And I got the world record, 124 pounds.
They don't get that big. Come on. Really?
One
rooster
did.
Fish?
One did his world record.
Wow.
That's right. I got pictures of it, pictures, and I got it all on film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost as big as you,
don't
Chris.
Dispute
oh, maybe
me,
not.
John. You know I make it all happen.
Yeah. I know.
You've proven it in print.
You've proven that many times. But, man, I didn't know they got that big. But anyway, at that time of the year, if we go down the end of April, do you think the yellowtail will still be there?
Of course they will.
So it should be good yellowtail. Rooster fishing should be coming in, right?
Yeah.
And then possibly...
Small rooster tail, yeah, no big stuff.
Yeah, it's a little early for the bigger
ones.
Well,
140 pounds is too big for me anyway. I wouldn't even want to hook into it.
124 pounds, John.
Okay. But
do you fish them on the fly when you get out there?
Yeah.
No, that's the
best.
But
I don't get them that big, to be honest with you. Get them on a fly, 35 pounders.
And believe me, that's plenty. That's plenty.
And then, you know, there's... Even the Dorado can be there anytime, and hopefully they'll be in then. And of course, the striped marlin.
I doubt it very seriously. What you're looking at that time of year is really good yellow fishing and big pargo.
Mm-hmm. Those are
dog. Dog tooth snappers are 45, 50 pounders. That's a real good time for them.
Well, you know what's really cool, Bob? I don't know if you've ever, because it's a rockfish, and normally you drop down and, you know, and guess one of the, if you get a needlefish that's like 3 feet long, you kind of put a hook in the middle of it and drop it down, and if that gets bit, you know you got a big one.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes they'll come up to the top and feed, and when you get up and catch them on the surface, that's really a kick.
And they're a grouper? Oh, wow. Amazing.
What are you talking about? You're talking about pargo?
Yeah, when they come up to the top.
Yeah, you can chum them up.
Yeah.
And you can catch them on a fly.
Wow, I wouldn't want to do that.
We catch them on a fly. You chum them up, and you'll get them right in the rocks where it's about 4 foot deep.
Yeah.
Just go over and throw a bunch of sardines in. You'll get them coming up chasing sardines. They'll come right out of the rocks.
Right.
Then just, you know, throw a fly in there and let it sit.
Yeah.
Then when you see movement, start jerking, and you can get them.
I don't know what you do there.
You've got to use 10 to 12, because anything lesser than that, they go right in the rocks, and they'll break you off.
Yeah, you got to put the wood to them right away to keep them out of the rocks, I'm sure.
Exactly.
The same's true on the yellowtail, if you happen to be fishing on the fly for yellowtail. It's amazing.
Well, Chris, I think we've... We'll see if we can cover a little bit more. But, Bob, you've been asking a lot of questions. Give us some ideas about what else is happening in the world of fishing besides in Baja.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As we were talking before, you know, things are still going on as far as the exotics along the West Coast in the northern climes. The water is still staying warm despite the fact some storms came through. Air temps are down in the 30s and 40s, but the water temps are holding in the mid-60s.
Wow.
It's unheard of, never happened in my lifetime. And it reminds me of the old days when they used to get albacore off San Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that we're going to see. We're going to see some unusual activity, and we're going to see some really interesting catches offshore. And then along the freshwater circuit, you know, we've got a lot of things happening. The steelhead are filling some of the rivers, and we're getting a lot of rivers that normally aren't getting very good runs are getting fabulous mm-hmm. runs of salmon this year. And with the water that we've had with the rains, the rivers mm-hmm. are filling up.
Grizz, last week that you were not on because you were out with Larissa making television for the last month or so, but we talked a little bit about prognostication for 2015. What is your sense? Because, you know, as Bob coined the phrase, the new normal, you know, weather, you know, of course, changes, but most areas it was somewhat predictable of what it was going to be like. But this last year, it's like, you know, you have no clue. What is your thoughts about fishing in this coming year? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I hope it doesn't happen like this year.
Why is that?
The water, like I told you, John, you know, in September, it was 92 degrees under my boat in the marina.
Oh.
And we lost, for me, it was one of the poorest years ever of fishing down here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the water was 92, 93, 94 in Cabo and San Jose, it was 94.
So even the bait went out for cooler water?
Everything went north to you guys. That's why you guys were catching blues and stripes.
That's right.
You guys had a hell of a fishery, and we're just standing there with our thumbs, you know, where we're not catching anything. I mean, it was horrible this year.
And what we're worried about for you and benefiting us is that this is the new normal. This is the way, in all probability, I feel that it's going to be. I think that what we've got is we've got a new normal, and it's the change of the water temps due to the change of the cycles that are happening around the world. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I want to hope that this was just a freak year, or this last year was a freak year. I want to hope that it does not get that hot and chase all the sardines north. I mean, it was just bad for us.
That was really an anomaly.
And that was across the board from La Paz all the way around to Magdalena Bay?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, Magdalena started getting, actually, Magdalena and north of Magdalena Bay was better fishing. They were catching, it was incredible that, for example, in La Bocana, they never catch tuna. And they were catching tuna reptiles. They were filling up boats of tuna.
Wow. Yeah.
And that never happens there.
They were doing it off Dana Point.
The farther north you went, the better the fishing was.
Good news, bad news.
Yeah. Well, but you know, it's on the front edge.
We've got only about a minute left in this segment. But fascinating stuff. And, of course, you can go to ASOB Online. Is that where would they want to find out?
Yes, sir.
And then just check with fishtalkradio.com if you want to go to visit Grizz's place, and we'll keep up with it.
You can link over to Grizz.
Well, just get into contact with us, and we'll get in contact with
Grizz. Because that's the biggest question. How in the world are you going to be able to get a hold of this guy? He's got all this going on.
I know. Just get in touch with me, and I'll fix you up with Grizz. Grizz will take care of you. Trust me.
Great.
He knows how to be hospitable. He's really not a bad guy. He just sounds like on the radio.
No, he's got a good sense about him. Plus, he's hooked up with everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now only is a most interesting guy and a world-famous fisherman, but now he's a rock star.
When we come back, can we ask Grizz about what else there is to do at Mag Bay?
We'll be appreciate you tuning in, and make sure you go to Facebook and Fish Talk Radio, and congratulations to our 15 winners of the Misty Loggins contest, and we're going to be having more stuff coming up, so pay attention.